followers of Christ. You see, Philemon's actions point the great apostle towards God. When Paul looks at him, all he can see, oh, thank you, Lord, for your work. And it wells up inside of him of this incredible, big, massive, thankful heart. His glancing blow, the, oh, I'm in prison, moves and swells over into thankfulness. Because when I look at you and I see your work, that must be God. I wonder when people look into our life together, would they see a work of God? When we look at each other's lives, do we see works of God in our lives? Because Paul, every time he sees God at work in others, it moves him. It's not just like, well, that's cool. He hasn't grown so cold to the work of God that when it happens, that it doesn't overwhelm him anymore. When he sees God work, he just steps back and he can't believe it. Perhaps because he's aware of himself, he's aware of those the Lord is working through, and understands it is miraculous indeed that the Lord would use individuals like you and I. When he sees the work of God, it compels him to rejoice. Why? Because God is being noticed. The gospel is being proclaimed. Though my circumstance is terrible, it doesn't matter. This is what we've been talking about for the last several weeks in looking at Philippians. We see it again here in this personal letter. Paul is not afraid to rejoice when God is being noticed in the lives of others. There is no greater joy in my heart than to see God being noticed in your lives. And it should floor us every time it happens, because isn't that a good work of the Lord? Isn't that a good work of the Lord? Yes. Amen. I know me, and I know many of you, and I'll tell you, it is a good work of the Lord to work through us, in us. And apparently, Philemon is working in such a way that the spotlight is on God. It's like if he had a million lumens, his love and faith is just off of him, and it's directing all that look at him. They all look unto the Lord. And Paul, being so far away, is lifting his eyes up. Oh, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for the work that is occurring. Philemon, putting the spotlight on God through his faith and love. Well, this is a sure sign that God is indeed at work. So the right thing to do is to thank the Lord for that and be grateful for it. But this love and faith of Philemon, it's had an impact. We've already seen hints of it, but verse 7 gives us a very specific impact, right? So Paul gives thanks, but Paul is also impacted by the work. Verse 7, for I have derived, this is Paul, much joy and comfort from your love, my brother, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you. The work of Philemon has refreshed the saints. The believers in Colossae, perhaps people passing through, they have been refreshed. His actions have worked in them in such a way that they walk away with more joy in interacting with Philemon. He has encouraged the believers there, perhaps those passing through. What he has specifically done, once again, it's not really told to us, but it must have been great to bring refreshment to the hearts of believers. And if you're like me, I love words, and even the word refreshment. After a long, hard day, or after being out in the sun for a long time, which never happens in the desert, right? How refreshing the cool drink of water is, right? Apparently, Philemon is just a cool drink of water every time you get around him. And he lives and acts in a way that hearts are encouraged. It seems that Philemon is the guy to know. He's the one to go to when life's difficulties are consuming you. Have you ever had someone in your life like that? There was a lady in my hometown. She was the biggest encourager I ever knew. Every time I got around her, when I left her presence, I thought I could conquer the world. My soul was refreshed by being around this person. They oozed with every ounce of them joy at who Christ was. And you know what they oozed with? Joy in what Christ was doing in my life. And joy in what God was doing in others' life. It truly brings these type of people great joy. And Paul is feeling it. And Philemon is exercising faith in such a way that it is bringing great joy with those close to him and all the way back in Rome. Paul can seemingly handle his not so fortunate circumstance because God is at work down the road. And something about Philemon's love and faith, it's actually impacting him. It's bringing joy. It's bringing comfort to Paul, who is a prisoner for the cause of Christ. Can you ever imagine how much impact our commitment and faith and love of Christ can go? How far that ripple effect can happen? And apparently, it's had a pretty big impact in Paul's life and those close to Philemon. Lastly, what I'd like for us to see, what Paul does, is he prays for Philemon. Paul is so thankful for his work, it compels him to pray. Now, we know part of his prayer is to give thanks unto the Lord, to be grateful for what the Lord is doing. But there's something so pastoral, so great, and so glorious about Paul's thoughtfulness in his prayer for Philemon. Because I don't know about you, when I look at him and what I just learned from these few verses, I think, well, this guy's got it figured out. This guy is good to go. But listen to the content of Paul's prayer. It's found in verse 6. Here's what he said. And I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ. Now, let's do a little bit of work here because I'm afraid that we might could misunderstand exactly what Paul is saying here. Now, you may even have a different translation and realize that that phrase, sharing of your faith, may read a little different in your text. Well, the reason is because the phrase isn't just as clear as we would like it to be. See, the English language is a bit anemic, if you will, and sometimes it doesn't have the ability to communicate the fullness of what Paul is actually saying here. Because on the surface, with the ESV and several translations say the sharing of your faith, with a quick glance over that, we might think it means the articulation of the gospel, right? Evangelism. That's a phrase that's often used, the sharing of the faith, and that's actually a good way of referencing someone who's using their words to express their belief specifically in the message of Jesus. It is a common way that we talk about evangelism. We talk about the sharing, the speaking of our faith, right? So we think share, we might just quickly move to speak, right? Speaking of our faith, speaking of our belief in Jesus. But the interesting thing here is that Paul uses a very common New Testament word that is not used often about the sharing or the speaking of our faith. He uses a word, this is a word Paul uses a lot, that actually means fellowship. It actually means partnership. Now, if you're a Greek scholar, anyone want to guess what that word is? Koinonia, ever heard that word? It's a word that is used quite often by Paul to talk about partnership, about fellowship, sharing a task together, right? See, this word means a very close association, right? That's what it captures in it. What is this association? It's usually between people, fellowship, a partnership. It's around a mutual interest, and it becomes a very Christian word to say partnership around gospel work, sharing in the faith about Jesus and all things God. Now here, it goes a little bit further to highlight Philemon's participation in faith, right? Because his faith compels him to act a certain way. His faith compels him to open his home. So here, there is this close association Paul feels with Philemon around all things God and Jesus. And there's also kind of a highlighting of Philemon's participation and what he is doing. In essence, Paul and Philemon share the same faith. They fellowship in participation of that faith. It's like talking to someone who does the same line of work as you. You grin with certain words, you go, oh yeah, I get that. They talk about a certain thing. You get pastors in a room and there's not a whole lot that you just look at each other and go, yep, I know what you mean. Engineers, I guess, maybe you do the same thing. Maybe you just nod and don't say a lot, I don't know. But you get in the room, salespeople, you get in the room and there's a lot of chatter probably happening, right? But there's this commonality, right? There's something that we get each other and we share in that participation of that work, right? And we understand what it looks like and we feel connected to that individual. And this is kind of what Paul is getting at here. He's like, hey, Philemon, we share the same faith and we are actually fellowshipping in that participation. We get what it looks like to give of ourselves, right? For gospel matters. Now, let's be honest. Sure, Philemon absolutely uses his speech to share his beliefs. Of course he does. But I don't want us to miss the emphasis here of a shared fellowship in Christ, right? There's something that he's looking at Philemon and saying, hey, we share the same belief. And we are sharing. I'm in chains, and you're going for it there in Colossae. And we're sharing and we're participating in a common belief about Christ, and about God, about Scripture. See, the implied point of Paul is this. He's saying, I pray that the shared faith you have with me, and some translations actually go so far to include that, to kind of tease out what is being said here. But this is what Paul is getting at. He's like, I'm praying that the shared faith you and I have, the shared faith that you're participating in daily, that's what he's praying about. That work, that belief, that love, that giving of yourself, this complete surrender to God's will and work. That's what he's praying about. That's what he's highlighting, this love and faith of Philemon that works its way out into actions. And it includes all the things that we could imagine when it comes to what we believe in Christ. That's what he's praying about, that thing. But what does he want that thing to do? What is he asking that the Lord would do in Philemon when these things that he's daily doing occur? He wants that shared faith to grow and mature Philemon even more. I gotta be honest. Philemon seems like a pretty good guy. Philemon seems like that he's got his stuff together and he's doing well, and he like, okay, you want him to do more? Like, but this is exactly the heart of Paul's prayer. Oh, how pastoral Paul is. And oh, how we're going to see how Paul wants his knowledge and his maturity to grow. But this is what he's getting at. Hey, the shared faith that we have, that you're participating in, I am praying that it will grow and mature you even more. That's what is meant by become effective. That the giving of yourself would have an impact. That the trust and belief that Philemon has and he is showing to everyone around him, that it will continue to mature him. To what? To great knowledge. We could even say not only great knowledge, but to experience what he believes. You may be saying knowledge of what? Well, what is indicated here? He wants Philemon to grow and understand and experience what he has in Christ, for Christ, strategically said there. He wants him to know on a deep, deep level what he has in Christ, prepositions, woohoo, grammar. What we have in Christ and all that we have in Christ for Christ. He said, I want you to grow in your understanding of what it means to be in Christ. Well, doesn't Philemon get it? Oh, he's going to get it even more as we see through the letter. But isn't this a wonderful prayer of Paul? Almost saying no one fully arrives. No one graduates, as a pastor, well, I once heard a pastor say, no one graduates from the gospel. Paul is saying, I want you to understand more of that gospel reality. This work that you're doing, this love and faith you have for Jesus, I want that to become so effective that you'll know even more of what you have in Christ and understand what we have in Christ and then go give it for Christ. You see, Paul wants Philemon to grow in this type of knowledge. What he, we could even say the church there, and let me so boldly say, what you and I, what we have in Christ. Not only what we have, but to experience it fully. On a level that some of us, unfortunately, never experience. I don't know why, perhaps stubbornness, unwillingness. I'm not sure. But I'm praying that our little dive into this small letter would grow our maturity and understanding of what we have in Christ. Not only grow it, but to experience it. Which might mean hard things. Bring it on. Because the end result is good. Now, to let the cat out of the bag, we'll explore more next week. But the greater maturity Paul wants Philemon to have, what he wants Philemon to fully understand to a deep level and to experience, and you may already know this because you've read Philemon before, but what he really has in view here and what he wants him to understand, we'll see by the end of the letter, is what we have in Christ in forgiveness and reconciliation. I mean, just those two terms alone. Well, we could spend hours. We'll save it for another time. But that's where he's headed with this little prayer. Why does he want him to understand what he has in forgiveness and reconciliation? Well, you guessed it, so he can give forgiveness and be reconciled to other brothers. You see, he wants the forgiveness that we have in Christ. That's one thing we have in Christ. We have multiple things in Christ. But he wants that to become tangible in his life. He wants him to not only say it with his mouth, but experience it. He wants the glorious, already love and faith of Philemon. He wants that to go just a little bit deeper. Run just a little bit further. Great, you opened your home, Philemon. That's wonderful, and we rejoice over that. But perhaps the Lord wants to do more. Brother and sister, do you understand what you have in Christ? Do you think you've arrived at all of your understanding of Jesus? Do you hang on things that you do well at so you can ignore the things you don't do well at? And by the way, that's just me talking to me. Do you cling to the things that are so easy for us to do and declare how great God is, but then just maybe ignore? Because what we have in Christ is overwhelming. We could so boldly say this morning, as the text says and what Paul is praying, is that every good thing in us is due to Christ. And I could even go further and say, it's for his sake as well. You see, for centuries, and we've gotten away from this language, but for centuries, pastors, scholars, theologians always talked about union with Christ. That we are in Christ in such a way that we enjoy the glorious benefits of our salvation. And that is multifaceted. We could spend a lifetime exploring what we have in Christ, and I guarantee you, you would not be disappointed. It's like a diamond that you pick up, and this angle looks really good. But the next thing you know, you go over here, and it's like, well, that one looks good too. And you go over here and it's like, wow, well, that angle is brilliant. And this one shines a light a bit differently. And there's Christ just with all of his brilliance. Every angle, every view, every look. You don't graduate from the overwhelming awe of what we have in Christ. Philemon, thank you, amen. Philemon on the surface looks like he's got it all put together, and Paul says, but there's more coming. And it's going to be good for you, and you're going to experience and know forgiveness in Christ like you never knew before. You see, our union with Christ, it creates greater experiences than what this world has to offer. What we have in Christ is so better than any accolade, any accomplishment that this world has to offer us. Nothing compares to what we have in Christ. I mean, think about reconciliation. It's a relational term. You know, in Christ, we experience that. And in Christ, we can give that to others and actually be restored. Isn't it amazing when broken relationship is brought back together? Isn't that amazing? And some of us are too stubborn to experience that. And Paul's prayer is so applicable to you and I today. I want you to go deeper in what it means to be in Christ. You see, because what we share with each other in faith is far greater than we often experience. Once again, I don't know why, other than the word stubborn keeps coming to my mind. I don't know why we don't have greater joy sometimes. Now, life is hard and it's difficult, but even that is an opportunity for us to know what we have in Christ for Christ. Everything good that we do is rooted in Him. Let me say the opposite so you can hear this morning. Every bad thing that exists can be changed in Him. That's crazy. And I get so simplistic, but I don't know what else to say sometimes. It's just, that's crazy. I'm sure there's a much more intellectual way to say that. It'd be far more stimulating to your thinking. But every good thing we do is rooted in Him, and every bad thing that exists in us can be changed in Him. Isn't that complete counter those living in Amos' day? Isn't it just completely opposite? They need a big dose of understanding what they had in Christ. They were not living, experiencing any bit of grace and mercy, forgiveness, reconciliation. It wasn't even true of them that they had in God the Father, that you and I have through God the Son. We are in Christ in such a way that we enjoy all the glorious benefits of our salvation. And some of us will never know how glorious it is. Philemon is already experiencing, probably to a deep degree, right, of the joys of just giving unto the Lord. I'm sure when the church gathers, there's probably tremendous things that occur. And he's watching the Lord move. And he has no idea what's headed down the pipe. He has no clue how the Lord is going to increase grace and mercy, challenge his belief in Christ. How is it that we could go our entire lives and not experience Christ to the level that so many in the scriptures do? Well, that's for you to pray about. But it's for me to pose this last question. Where do you need to mature in our shared faith? What do you have in Christ and you sense that he's working in to grow deeper, but yet you're ignoring it because you know it will be hard? Where are you neglecting gathering? Where are you neglecting going deeper in the family of God? Where the Lord is just sitting there going, I've got so much more. I've got so much more. Where are yours? We'll look so much more deeper next week. Where are you unwilling to extend forgiveness? And we're going to explore that a lot next week, so prepare your hearts. Where is it that you're rejecting reconciliation? Where are you neglecting your responsibilities of faithfulness unto the Lord? Where do you need to mature in our shared faith together? Because I can guarantee you the Lord's got so much more. And to let your stubbornness keep you, well, that would be a tragedy indeed, wouldn't it? This morning, if you're with us and you don't know Christ, well, that's a good starting point to understand what you have in Christ. Grab someone, grab myself, grab Jared. We'd love to chat of what it means to be in Christ. But church family, where do you need to mature in our shared faith? Do you understand what you have in Christ? Let's pray. Father God, this morning I am so thankful for the beauty of such a small, small book in our Bible that has challenged us greatly this morning. How is it, Lord, that we grow cold? How is it that we miss the depth and what you want to do in our lives? And Father, perhaps this morning for many of us, a great start is just to start living in faith. Start doing things like Philemon was doing, because apparently Paul is pointing to those activities, saying those activities can have an impact. So Father, for some of us, maybe the first thing to do is just put action to what we believe. Actually get up tomorrow and open the Bible. Perhaps actually go across the street and talk with that neighbor. Perhaps pursue someone in our church family to read the Bible with. All the many of things that we could give ourselves to in faith, trusting that you would use those things to grow us deeper. Break through our stubborn hearts, Lord, and encourage us this morning. Father, for some among us who don't know you, Lord, that today they might experience what it means to be in you. It is in your holy and precious name we pray. Amen.